On this episode of The Edible Valley, we're talking hand-harvested sea salts, herbs, and spices.
Welcome to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Blaine Prost.
And we would like you to join with us on our ongoing adventure exploring our Edible Valley. I am Jonathan Fraser.
I'd like to welcome Brian and Leah McCormick to the studio. Welcome, guys.
Well, thanks for having us.
So, the studio's a little different than last time you were here, Brian.
Yeah, you guys have certainly done a lot since my last time here. You've done a lot of work down here.
John's been doing it all. I don't know how he's found time, but...
Well, we kind of cleaned out stuff out of this room, so we have a nice open room. It's not quite the same as when we're at Jet FM, but it's still nice, and it's actually easier for us. So it's nice to be able to bring people in on our own time and let them feel a little more comfortable and have some discussions about what's going on in their lives. So
and you can have a beer.
And I can have a beer and not worry about it. So,
So you guys are doing... You have a little business going called The Clever Crow, hand-harvested sea salt, herbs, and spices. So I see a plate full of beautiful colors here. So what are you guys up to?
Well, we're gathering water from the Strait of Georgia and creating some wonderful salts from it. We gather salt in big 20-liter buckets and...
Salt water,
yes. And bring it back and... We run it through a strainer to try to get any of the seaweed or any particles that might be in there, if you have any little bits of driftwood or something that might be caught up in it. And
well, here's just going out into the water. Do you just like straight off the beach? Is that?
Yeah, just straight off the beach. Just sort of wade out a little bit and submerge the buckets and fill them up. And then
right, so it's not
pop
that.
Lids back, pop lids on them and carry them up to the car.
Right.
Excellent. Brian does the hard work by carrying all the I usually manage about one halfway up the beach. I go out in the water and fill the buckets full of water.
Right, and Brian's the pack horse that brings him back to the car.
Yep.
Yeah. And I've seen some of your pictures on Facebook with the buckets in the back of your car. So you bring it back and you strain it.
Yep, so we strain it first, sort of the first filtering process. Then after we've strained it, we run it through a wine filter. So it runs it through a filter pad. It gets any sort of impurities out of it. I don't know what size anyways, but it takes a lot of the algae and stuff out. You have to change the pad every couple of buckets to get the nice clean water. Hmm. And then we stack those all up in the pails out on the back porch, and that just awaits the boiling of it once we filtered it. Then once we've got it all filtered, we start boiling. We get two pots going on the stove, and we just have a constant rolling boil. And as the pots start boiling down, we take water from one pot and add it into the other pot, and cold water into the pot on the front. So we have a constant boil in one pot at all the time.
So how many buckets of water does it take for one batch of salt for you when you're working?
We usually do four buckets. Okay. So what is that? It's about 80 liters of water that we do at a time. And we find that's a manageable process. So we boil down the four buckets to the volume of one pail. So once we got that in that boiling process, there's a lot of calcium in the salt water that starts coming out, and that coats all of the inside of the pots, turns them all white.
Yeah, you're saying that to me.
Yeah, really,
yeah.
Because you could, when we first started making sea salt, we would just dump the ocean water into a pot and then just boil it down like crazy, and you'd end up with sort of this whitish gray slushy salt, and it tasted great, and we thought it was really good. But the calcium, it has kind of a chalky taste, and we didn't really want that in there. We didn't want the powdered salt. We wanted more like the fleur de sel, the nice larger crystals and had that nice crunch to it. So we started looking into sort of different processes that we could do. And to get the calcium sort of comes out of the seawater first. So in that boiling process, we found that boiling the four buckets down to one, we get most of the calcium out just in coating the pots. Wow. And so then after that boiling's process done, we do a very slow evaporation in crock pots.
Mm-hmm.
So we fill up two crock pots and we just slowly add water to them. And then the salt crystals start to form on the top, forming little squares and pyramids growing down into it.
Neat.
And then we just keep scooping the salt out of the crock pots onto glass of microwave trays. And then in we have a gas oven, and then into the gas oven just to sort of finish the drying process.
In the gas oven, there's just a pilot light. So it's just the natural warmth of the oven from the pilot light that dries out the salt.
Right.
So you get that nice crispy. Yeah, you still get the nice.
It takes, it definitely takes a few days to fully dry out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are you left with anything in the crock pots? Or are they?
Yeah, once we get down to about 3 or 4 liters of water, you start getting more of like a fine white powdery crystals. They stop forming the nice squares and diamonds and stuff. And just because you're getting more into potassiums and magnesium chlorides. And and we didn't really want that because they have a real bitter taste. Mm. The Japanese use them for making tofu, for curdling the soya milk, for making tofu. So they do have uses.
Right.
But they have a bitter taste and we didn't want it in the salt. And they're like a real fine sort of slurry. So we just discarded at that point. We've saved a little bit for some experimentation and stuff, but mostly that's just discarded at that point.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bit of process.
It is, yeah. There's a fair bit.
Lots of steps.
Yeah.
And so once you get you've dried it all out, is there a certain way you're storing it, or is it basically you're selling it so fast you don't get to hold on to it for that long?
We don't get to hold on to it for very long. We store it in plastic bags, and then I'm just always using it to blend different flavors into it to make the 7 different salts that we sell.
Excellent. So you've got 7 specialty salts.
Yeah, actually, I think we're at 8 now.
8?
Yeah, one's more experimental, but I'm working on it. I'll let you try it.
Okay.
Let's start tasting some salt.
I would love to. I want to start out and just talk about, you have these cute little cases, which I find pretty neat, actually.
Yeah. We sell our salts in 2 different packages. So the one that you're holding in your hand is a tiny little metal tin with a slide off top that slides from the left to the right.
Mm-hmm.
People are really loving those. They say the Comox Valley on them. They're a great gift to give someone. And they also travel very well if you're...
And there's nothing more...
A little bit of salt, your own salt. Carry it around your purse or your pocket.
Put this in the camping pack.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Go to cottage.
Yeah.
Lots of great uses for it. Yeah. So, it's just nice and simple, and you've got your fresh salt right there.
Yeah.
And it's quality salt.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing more
local.
I think
it's a very pure, clean product. It's all done indoors. There's no bugs flying into it. It's just all, it's very, just a well-managed product, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's small scale, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Small scale, small batch artisan sea salt.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we should actually talk. The friend of all of ours, is Pontissima Pasta. You're doing stuff in there.
Yeah, so I do all my packaging at Pontissima and all my blending over there.
Right.
I also sell the salts there, and I just help Sarah out by working a few hours in the store so she can have time with her kids. So you'll see me there on Friday afternoons from 12 to 5, and I'm in the back and I'm
putting
together salt.
Excellent.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's a nice trade off.
It is.
Yeah, works
it
well.
Is. Does work very well. So I have some cucumber slices here. That's what I use at the market to sample the salts. This is a nice sort of fresh, neutral kind of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes well with the salts. So if you want to start with the rosemary salt.
I would love
to
try
this.
Green
color. It's just rosemary that we grow in our garden. We also have
a picture of this before we start digging into
before
it.
We just right.
We have a bit of some leased land also that we grow herbs and spices and our radishes and lettuces and all kinds of things going on there.
Well, that's another something we haven't even touched on because we're just going on salts, but because we're talking about the rosemary, but you have a whole line of herbs that you're doing too.
Yes.
Dried herbs.
Yeah.
Which
one of the most popular blends that I make is it's an Herbe de Provence, but I call it Herbe de Comox Valley.
Right.
And it's just a traditional Herbe de Provence blend with basil and savory and thyme and lavender.
And the other one.
And the other one. Oh, my goodness.
It'll come to you. No worries. But
anyways, that's a pretty popular one. It's a funny name. People, always kind of laugh. Herbe de Comox Valley. I'm going to buy that from my friend.
So those are all your own herbs, and they're coming from either your backyard?
Yeah, or the farm.
The farm. So where is the farm then?
It's on Stapley Road. It's very close to Tannadice Farms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're out that way.
Yeah.
Perfect. And how big a...
About an acre.
Yeah, we have right now we have access to about an acre, and we have a few friends that are also farming within that acre. We're all together on growing a bunch of garlic that we'll have in the end of the summer at the farmer's market, as well as we also have like some small areas where I'm growing a bunch of herbs and some leeks and shallots and a few other vegetables for the farmer's market, and then two other friends growing other stuff for their own.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. So this will just be a little added extras when you come to get some salt at the market.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we can't grow enough herbs anymore in our backyard to kind of keep up with demand, so we're looking for...
yeah, so we need more space to...
of course, yeah.
Grow stuff.
Well, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So start you off with the rosemary. And the rosemary vine is really nice. Sprinkle on like roasted potatoes or any squash. Throw it on top of some chicken.
Oh, yeah, it's got a nice, beautiful rosemary taste to it.
Mm-hmm. Man, I love salt.
I love cucumbers and salt, and I think if you can add rosemary to it, it's just that much better.
Yeah, nice finish.
Mm-hmm.
The next one we have is the citrus salt.
Citrus salt. Yeah. So what kind of citrus are you?
It's lemon and lime zest, and I hand zest them all.
Right.
I buy organic when I can. It's not always going to be organic, but most of the time it is. I think the flavor comes through a little bit better, you know, if it's in like a salad dressing or like emulsified with some oil or on top of some fish, like some salmon or halibut.
I was just thinking.
It kind of like heats up and then, you know, the zestiness comes out of it.
Chicken too.
Flavor. Yeah.
See that on some roasted chicken skin. Yum.
Yeah. Oh, I love chicken skin.
Yeah.
So that has and it has a beautiful yellow color to it too, which is quite nice. So we're
Let's go with the middle one. So we have the chili salt, and Brian grew those chilies in our greenhouse.
So this has got a bit of a spice to it, or
So it's not too spicy. I think I'm pretty excited to try it on some local corn on the cob with lime and butter. And I think that chili salt will be fantastic on it.
It's got some good heat to it. Nice.
So those are your own chili peppers? You find difficulties growing peppers? Well, you have a beautiful greenhouse.
We have the greenhouse.
We have the greenhouse. Yeah.
Otherwise,
really
I don't think we'd be able to get the very hot pepper.
I think every year I put a pepper plant in the ground in hopes, and I get one pepper maybe if I'm lucky.
Yeah. Always a dream. Greenhouses are nice. Last year I bought a pepper plant that already had peppers started on it. So I got three off of it, and they were already growing when I bought it.
Well, I find a lot even in the greenhouse. I usually have them in large pots just to kind of get them up and get the roots warmed up even quicker. It kind of gives it that extra start.
Right. Excellent. I just put a 30,000 BTU unit heater in a greenhouse today. Small greenhouse, not much bigger than yours.
But yeah.
It'll be, they'll have no problem keeping it warm. It was 28 degrees in there today without the heater on, so...
Wow.
Yeah, even with the cloud cover, it was pretty toasty in there.
Mm-hmm. Pretty hot. Okay, let's go on to this one here. So this is the smoked sea salt. And this one has been definitely our biggest seller.
Is it?
Yeah. I'll let you guys have a little smell of it as well. It's definitely smoky. And we do all the smoking ourselves. Or sorry, Brian does the smoking. Brian, you might want to talk about the smoking process.
Nice. Yeah, like what kind of smoker are you using?
Oh, we just have a Big Chief. We have them laid out. We lay out the salt on
very nice
some nice rectangular glass trays.
Okay.
And then put those in the racks in the smoker. And salt actually, it does burn. You have to be really careful with the temperature of it. Overheating this salt in particular really destroys the texture of it. So you have to be careful on the bottom rack that you don't overheat it.
Right.
And I use apple trimmings for my apple tree, as well as some bought apple wood. And then we have a couple secret ingredients that we add into it for the smoke, for the aromatics.
That's good. That's good because
that is good. Isn't
that is really nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful flavor.
I think that would be nice on sliced tomatoes.
Oh yeah.
We actually have a recipe that we give out at the market for a maple cream sauce with smoke. Maple cream sauce and seared scallops, then you sprinkle that smoked sea salt on it.
Yeah. Oh, just to finish?
So you finish the dish with that. And that's a recipe by Gaytan Pallardy,
who
runs Gourmet Trails.
Right.
Yeah, so she uses the smoked salt when she demos that recipe in her cooking classes.
Right, excellent. Nice. I know we want to get her in here for an interview sooner than later.
She's lots of fun.
She is.
Let's go on to this one here. So this is our red wine salt, and we have just switched over to exclusively using Beaufort Winery Sabotage red wine. And that is grapes exclusively grown on their in their vineyard. So this is 100% Comox Valley red wine and in our Comox Valley sea salt.
Excellent. It's very sweet.
It looks really beautiful, sprinkled on food, like presentation-wise. It's quite stunning.
It's got a great color.
And the Sabotage is such a great wine, too.
Yeah.
One of my favorites of theirs.
So. Yeah, so they sell that in their tasting room. Mm-hmm. They just opened their tasting room last weekend.
Was it last weekend that it opened up?
Yeah, 24th of May.
Excellent.
Yeah, so they will be that will be available there, and as well as the farmers market. So that will be the red wine that we red wine salt that we will sell.
Okay,
perfect. From now on.
Neat.
We also this is the one that I was talking about experimentally. So they gave me a bottle of their Black Solera, Black Currant, Blackberry port wine.
Mm.
So it's very it's a sweet wine. It has a high sugar port. It has a high sugar content. So it really acted very strangely. So as you can see,
oh yeah,
you can't even shake it out of the jar. It appears all hard.
Yeah,
right.
But you can use a spoon and you can scoop. It will come out, and as soon as you take it out, then you can just crumble it in your hand. But it just wants to stick together. It wants to stay all together. So
it kind of have those caramely sugars in there.
That, yeah.
And take a little smell. It's very nice. Sort of sweet blackberry kind of aroma to it. Oh,
you really smell that blackberry. Wow. That's definitely distinct.
You can taste that one if you want. So I'm trying to sort of come up with what that salt might be good for.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could maybe a shortbread cookie you could spend all the time.
I was going to say on some ice cream.
On top, yeah, ice cream. People maybe like some salted caramels.
You know what? Even chocolate.
Yeah, that would be very nice on chocolate.
Is chocolate? I always find just a pinch of salt on chocolate all of a sudden just brings it to life, you know?
Salty chocolate's fantastic.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it definitely has a...
Mm.
And then the last salt that we have there is just our a pure natural...
Just a pure natural salt.
Sea salt.
Excellent.
You can certainly cook with all of these salts, but I think I prefer to use them more as a finishing salt. You still get the crunch when you bite into it, and you get the mineral burst, and you get the nice, you know, salty flavor. You don't really want to dissolve these, I don't think, into a liquid, or you don't really want to throw any into your pasta water.
No.
No, this is like something right at that end just to season up your fish, or
I'm just thinking I'm quite excited about these, these salts.
And where do you really have your... cucumber there, you can just slice out a few and just sprinkle a bit on each slice as you go.
Yeah, this is being very well received. We're selling, you can get the salts at Weinberg. This is this cute little grocery store, gift store.
We did an interview with them down in the Fannie Bay.
Behind the Buckley Bay gas station.
Yes, sir.
There.
Down in the Buckley Bay. I said Fannie Bay.
Yeah. Buckley
Bay.
Buckley Bay.
Yeah. And I regret that I haven't been able to get down there yet. I know it's a cute little store, and I've heard so many stories.
Yeah,
excellent coffee.
I got in there once or twice, but Leah's never been there when I've been there. So,
And
I didn't even get to do that interview with you guys because I got stuck on Denman that day.
That's right.
So I was in a panic, phoning around.
Mm-hmm. No. I haven't been to Denman in a long time. I'd
love
to be stuck on Denman.
There's one place to be stuck. One good place to be stuck. I don't
Gulf
mind
Islands
Denman.
Are a good place. Yeah.
We're also, you can buy all the little tins up at Seeds.
Seeds,
yes. They're up in Cumberland. Mm-hmm. This is a nice little display by, I think it's by the front cash.
It's right at the cash.
So, you get all the four different flavors of tins are available up there. A new place that we're selling them is the Salish Sea Market in Bowser.
Cool.
Which is a beautiful, beautiful, like, art kind of, lots of very interesting art products there. And one of their not their mantra, but one of the criteria for having something in their store is you have to either be making something and be able to see the Salish Sea from where you live.
Oh, wow.
Or it has to come from the Salish Sea.
And you're pretty much nailing both there.
Well, I can't see the sea from my
house. If you get on top of my house,
you
can actually see the Comox Harbor from there.
Okay. That's his way of trying to get you.
My house?
Well, your house is about the same height, so.
Okay.
I guess full disclaimer that we are neighbors, so.
Yeah. John's trying to get you up there to clean his gutters.
Yeah. Trying.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so the last little new product that I haven't really launched. I've had a few cans or tins at the farmer's market, but I haven't really done anything about trying to sell them. But summer's coming. It's going to be, you know, Caesar time, Caesar cocktail time on your backyard and your patio around the barbecue. So we have a Caesar rim. And we are using our sea salt and ground black pepper and lime zest and celery seed. And I hand grind everything up together.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And so let's try a little.
I'm into this.
In the celery seed, we grow that ourselves.
Oh, really?
I've been growing some leaf celery that I add into our salad mix. It kind of just looks like a bunch of parsley, but the leaves have a really strong celery flavor.
Oh, yeah.
And nice. So I've been growing that for the last couple of years, and I just let it go to seed, and the seed heads are huge, and you just get tons of seed from it.
Right.
So I've been saving that, and we've come up with this Caesar rim to use that.
Excellent. You guys are so clever and inventive. I like it.
Well, I love the fact that like this is all coming within 25 kilometers of itself, really.
Yeah.
Like we're not that far off the beach. I mean, it's a 10-15 minute drive down there to get the salt and bring it back. But I mean, all your ingredients are coming right here from the valley. Was that a part when you started doing this? Was that a key point to doing it?
Thank you.
Was it just sort of fell into place for you guys?
It was kind of a key point. We do want to sort of do as much as we can from the valley here and what we can grow and manage within this community. It's kind of, I guess sort of part of our mandate to try to do that as much as we can.
Excellent. Well, before we do this, I want to take a quick shot.
Yeah.
But this is looks like quite a treat.
What is this in the glass?
The caperberry.
Oh, cool.
I love caperberry. And I completely forgot to bring, Tabasco and Worcestershire sauce.
Okay.
Which I'm sure I just pronounced wrong.
It's all about your glass rim anyway.
It is. It's all about the rim.
Excellent. Well, I know where I'm going to be hanging out this summer. Again. Maybe having a different drink this year.
For sure.
That's quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. I like the pepper and the lime. I just wanted to do something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lime and pepper work good together.
Definitely. So what are your plans for the future with the salt? Just keep going and...
Just keep going.
And looking for... Are you going to come up with some new flavors or is that...
Yep, garlic scape season's coming up.
Oh, scapes. Oh,
right.
So we're just waiting for all of our garlic scapes to come up and then I'll dry those out and grind them up and I'll make a garlic scape salt.
Neat.
So I've been waiting to do that one.
Mm-hmm. Right. That should have a very distinct color to it. Too.
Yeah, it should be a nice bright green, I imagine. So that will be a new flavor. And then I would really like to work with different wineries and making... exclusive wine salts,
right?
For their tasting rooms.
No, that sounds like a great idea.
Another direction I'm going to take this little business and see what we can do. We, I guess, we're just trying to keep up right now with production and making enough salt. So in the future, we will need to look at how we're going to make more salt,
right?
Faster,
mm-hmm.
larger quantities, and not in my kitchen.
Right.
So what that will look like, we're not sure.
So we just started sort of this.
Yeah,
this
we've only
winter.
Been doing this for 6 months.
Right.
Trying to get an idea of what people would like and what flavors work and what we can grow in our yard and on our farm. And just to sort of, figure out what people want, where we can put our efforts that will be, the most productive for us and kind of see where that goes. From there,
mm-hmm.
certainly trying to figure out how we can scale salt production and keep it at the quality that it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a tricky bit, right?
It is.
Excellent. And so you guys are down at the farmer's market every week?
Yep, every Saturday morning.
Every Saturday morning? Excellent. So people can come down there and check you out.
Mm-hmm.
Try some of the different flavors. How's the response been from people? Were they some people surprised that there's salt here? Or?
Yeah, definitely. Some people want to know, what beach do I go and scrape it off the rocks? And I have to remind them that we're in a colder, rainy climate, and that that doesn't happen here. Yeah, no, generally people are loving it. They're very surprised.
Right.
Very surprised that someone is making salt. And this is even a thought of, oh, yeah, I guess we do live by an ocean and that is where sea salt comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because I think most people just think of salt as that bag in the grocery store.
Yeah.
But they just go in and there's not much. It's white. And maybe it's kosher.
You don't really think about it.
You don't really think about it. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just, the other reason why we wanted to do our own salt is, you know, making a very pure product is because there's a heck of a lot of things that are put into salt these days that companies don't generally even have to tell you about.
Right.
Lots, you know, if you can pour salt right out of a box, or if you can put salt in your salt grinder and leave it in there and it doesn't absorb any moisture, well, that has stuff, chemicals added to that.
Right.
So it doesn't
absorb
moisture, it doesn't, yeah, get wet.
Right. And most of them, they don't even have to declare if it's under what?
If it's under 2%, they add.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so is there a shelf life for your salt?
Oh, you know, I don't...
We haven't had any long enough to expire.
Over time left in a human environment, it will start absorbing moisture.
It will
start
sealed.
To dissolve.
But we haven't had that problem as of yet, anything getting really wet. But just placing it someplace dry and it'll just evaporate again to its original state.
Yeah, so it's not something that's going to go bad. Salt is a preservative.
Mm-hmm.
So
but to keep the
as
nice
long
crystals.
As you keep it sealed up.
It's all good. Excellent. Cheers.
Have you tried using any of it to do fermenting?
I've used a little bit in sort of some crouchy experiments that are still ongoing. But,
nice,
I grew a bunch of sprouting broccoli this winter, and so I took a bunch of the leaves and the last sort of blossoming heads and did sort of like a crouchy kind of concoction with that and with some onions and... It's come out pretty good, and I used our salt.
Yeah, awesome.
How about your preserving? Because I know I always like heading over to your place because you seem to always have something new going on in the back. Last time I was over there, we got into some, you made some prosciutto?
Yeah, I did a prosciutto ham recently. I just sort of have hanging in the garage right now another brisola. It's kind of like a beef carpaccio where it's a dried salted beef. It's been marinated in a red wine and some rosemary and then dried out in the garage or dried out in the fridge in the garage.
My garage meat.
Some people have garage vans. We have
garage meat. Garage meat.
But I haven't been using our own sea salt for it yet. We just have too much trouble keeping up with salt production for their Clever Crow products to be able to use the salt for that. So it just use the kosher salt or pickling salt.
Yeah, yours is more of a finishing salt, I guess, than a preserving salt.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good. All right, well, anytime you have anything you want to let people know about, just walk on over. We're usually here Tuesday nights, so
Sounds
if you
want
to do a little announcement about anything, feel free to come on over.
Sure. Yeah, thanks a lot for having us.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. We gratefully accept donations to help with the operating costs of the podcast or local ingredients to create new dishes in the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. Check out our website, ediblevalley.com. Like us on Facebook and follow our Twitter feed at Edible Valley. Email us with your comments or guests you would like to hear on the show. Don't hesitate to send along your cooking questions for John to answer on the show or to pick our brain on other local food information. Ediblevalley@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, keep it local.